I'm now joined by John Davi, founder and chief investment officer at Astoria Portfolio Advisors, who's an investment manager and ETF strategist currently overseeing more than $1.1 billion in assets. And at the end of last year, John partnered with Axis Investments to launch an ETF. It's called the Axis Astoria Inflation Sensitive ETF, ticker PPI. Nice ticker there. I'll give that an 8 out of 10 on the ticker scale. But John's the lead portfolio manager on that ETF, and he's now on the line with me from New York. John, great having you back on the podcast.
Thanks.
So what did you think of my ticker score there? I'm assuming you give yours a 10 out of 10?
You know, it's for an inflation ETF that had the ticker PPI, I think it would be a 10 for 10 just on that effort alone. But, I agree. There's some other tickers out there that are, trendier and they do other things. But we're pretty pleased with our ticker for sure.
I'm like Dave Portnoy trying to rate pizza places, minus the big social media following. I would say, look, if you had CPI, that would be a home run. I'm only deducting a point or two because my guess is some people just may not know what the PPI is. And actually, that's a good jumping off point for us to get into this. For people unfamiliar, what exactly is the PPI, the Producer Price Index? What does this measure?
So the PPI is an inflation measure. And what I would say is that, so there's two things. One is CPI and one is PPI. Both measure inflation. PPI measures, the cost of what producers will pay for their products. So things like mining, manufacturing, natural gas, electricity. That's what the PPI is. CPI is more like goods and services that, you go into a grocery store and you see what, the cost to buy, household durables and stuff like that. So CPI, more goods, by the normal everyday, person, whereas PPI is more like, what are you going to pay to mine in manufacturing, agricultural. Hopefully that's clear.
Okay, so let's do this. Let's start with the ETF itself, and then I am very interested to hear your take on the current market environment and how Astoria is positioning portfolios right now. Of course, we got a big PPI number this morning, but your ETF, it seeks to take advantage of an inflationary environment. This is actively managed by yourself. You're the lead portfolio manager. Walk us through the strategy.
Sure. So I think first thing I would say is that, people say, okay, like, let's protect against inflation. So I see a lot of people buying TIPS. Last year, $40 billion, went into TIPS ETFs. On average, I would say they were up 3-4%, but CPI last year was up 7%. So you underperform the rate of inflation. There are just stocks out there that and sectors that'll benefit from higher inflation. So, things like energy stocks and banks, materials, when inflation rises, these stocks historically, have done better. Now, past performance is not indicative of future results, but I think the idea that we have at Astoria is, why not try and embrace inflation? We know that it's been a problem for the last year. It's going to be a problem, I think, for the next few years. So rather than try and, run away from it and use instruments like TIPS that aren't really the best hedge for inflation, let's try and embrace it. So things like commodities, include in our ETF. The four sectors are energy, banks, materials, industrials. They make up the lion's share of it, 70 to 80%-ish, 10 to 15% commodities. And we do use a little bit of TIPS, but that's really just meant to dampen the portfolio volatility. So that's what it does. It's actively managed. It's a rules-based process for how we pick the stocks, and then the active overlay is how much we allocate to the U.S., non-U.S., how much we want to have, tilted towards commodities versus, TIPS versus stocks. Last point I'll make, Nate, is that, this year TIPS are down 3-4%. Inflation, is up 7%. So all that money that was put into TIPS last year is all underwater. But there are sectors that are doing pretty well year-to-date, namely energy and banks.
So if I were to boil that down, and I mentioned this at the top, I would describe this as a one-stop shop for exposure to areas of the market believed to best benefit from an inflationary environment. Is that a fair characterization?
Yes. And the genesis behind that is that about a year and a half ago, we went to our financial advisors, because we serve as an outsourced CIO, and we saw that there was so much concentration risk in tech and growth stocks in your standard 60-40 model. And we said, look, you know, we think on the margin inflation will rise. You know, let's put together a satellite portfolio of sectors and themes that we think will make sense. So we had our core 60-40 model portfolio, which had, you know, 10, 12 tickers, and then our inflation-sensitive SMA had another 10 tickers. So it became too overwhelming. So we said, look, we think ultimately, you know, a one-ticker inflation solution makes a lot of sense, and that was kind of the genesis of why we, you know, went ahead and launched it.
How did you end up partnering with Axis? And it's interesting. I mean, PPI is their first ETF. Now, they have a bunch of other filings in the hopper with the SEC, including these leveraged and inverse single stock ETFs I saw last week. I know they have a Bitcoin futures ETF filing. I personally think they're going to be a real player in ETFs longer term. But what's your backstory with Axis?
So I've known Greg Bassick, and he's one of the the original founders of IndexIQ, who in my former life, you know, so I quick background, I've spent 20 plus years in the ETF ecosystem, you know, writing research, developing ETF solutions, but all at the institutional level. And then 5 years ago, I started the Story Advisors to develop model portfolios for RIAs and financial advisors. But I had known Greg Bassick. You know, he's got a deep background and his other, you know, colleagues at Axis Investments, they've got a deep background in the ETF ecosystem. They've got Ben Fulton, who's one of the, you know, the original guys in the ETF ecosystem. You know, I think he started PowerShares. So, you know, we knew each other, and we said, look, you know, we think that this can make sense in an ETF wrapper. You know, they have a history of bringing institutional strategies, you know, that couldn't be accessed by retail from their days at IndexIQ when they would bring in like hedge fund replication and institutional type mandates into a retail wrapper. So that's why we joined forces. And, you know, so far we've been very happy working with them. And I do think that they will be, you know, a big player in ETF ecosystem, like you said.
All right, John. So you did a good job walking through the strategy. Let's talk markets right now. We did get this big CPI print last Thursday, 7.5% inflation year over year in January. That's the highest mark since 1982. I mentioned the PPI number this morning. And you look, of course, markets are now pricing in a number of Fed rate hikes. Just give us your quick thoughts on everything right now. I mean, how do you expect this all to play out moving forward?
Well, you know, the history and the evidence says that when interest rates rise, you know, high multiple stocks, you know, on the margin typically struggle. And sure enough, that's what's playing out. So it began last year where, I mean, first of all, Nate, you know, the 10-year was at 30 basis points in March of 2020, and we're now at, you know, over 2%. So interest rates have been rising, you know, for the better part of 2 years in reality, right? I know people are waking up now, but we identified this a while ago, as I said, and why we built that inflation-sensitive portfolio and why we're tilting towards value and cyclical stocks. So when, you know, rates rise, P multiples compress, so high P stocks on a relative basis will underperform, you know, lower P stocks. So, you know, we do think that there's a rotation out of growth into value. I think it can last, you know, quite some time. And I've got some evidence, you know, some time periods we can talk about, you know, where value kind of did very well for long stretches of time. So I think our whole premise is, you know, continuing what we've identified, you know, the better part of a year and a half ago. So I think you want to be more active in your portfolio. I think dispersion of returns is going to be pretty wide. You know, if I look year to date, EWZ is up 15%. You know, it's a Brazilian ETF. You know, the LATAM ETF is up 13. You know, QQQ is down 13. S&P is down 7-8. You know, so you've got this dichotomy of returns. You know, you've got broad-based commodity ETFs that are up 11. So I think, you know, what's interesting this year is that you've got the 60-40 model portfolio, which largely speaking is down because both U.S. stocks are down and U.S. bonds are down, which is a reason why I think, you know, you want to have exposure towards, you know, other sectors and other parts of the world, you know, emerging markets, Europe, which been largely ignored, you know, for the last 10 years. So being more global, being more active, I do think alternatives are going to play a big role this year. You know, we use a couple of ETFs like BTAL. It's like a long short market neutral ETF. It's up 3%. You know, gold, precious metals, anywhere between, you know, 2 to 4%. We use a merger ARB ETF, MNA, which is down 2%, but, you know, it's outperforming the S&P. So, you know, I think, like, we've got a combination of, like, you know, the need to hedge, you know, inflation, being more global. I think you want to be more active. You know, expect a lot more volatility, right? The Fed is, you know, behind the curve, right? So, you know, we all know that, and, you know, we'll see. I mean, they've been jawboning in the marketplace and have done already a lot of tightening indirectly with their banter. But, you know, James Bullard, who is, you know, the president of the St. Louis Fed, he's, you know, out there calling for 1%, you know, in Fed funds by, you know, the summertime. So I think it's a real tricky part of where we are in the cycle. So that's our message. Be global, be more active, include alts. You know, don't expect the returns that we've had in years prior. And, you know, typically when you get this rate hiking cycle, there's this rotation out of growth into value.
And John, just a couple minutes left. You know, as I was looking at the strategy underlying PPI, I always like to think about, okay, what can go wrong here? And just playing devil's advocate, you mentioned the Fed being behind the curve. Let's say the Fed does their job properly and they aggressively hike rates. Perhaps they run off their balance sheet. Won't that ultimately rein in inflation? And therefore, you can make the argument inflation-sensitive areas of the market might underperform. Or does it go back to what you were saying, that you just expect this to take – this is a longer period of time we're going to be dealing with these inflationary pressures regardless of what the Fed does. I'm just curious, how do you view that yin and yang?
So that's a good point. You know, in the 70s, inflation – was, you know, a problem for many, many years. You know, I think we're still in year, you know, two, let's say, effectively, or maybe you can argue one, because, you know, inflation really wasn't a problem until towards the back end of 2020. You know, I think inflation is like the genie that comes out of the bottle. Once it's out, it's kind of hard to get put in. I mean, corporations have pricing power, which is something they haven't had for many years. So, you know, the new car is, you know, $5,000 more this year than it was last year. Is the car company really going to decrease their price in 2 years because the Fed doesn't own the amount of bonds? Like, I highly doubt it. I just think we're in a new steady state for a lot of, like, goods and services. Will there be a rotation where, okay, fine, like, goods were bid up the last 2 years, now maybe services will be bid up in the next year or two because now people are going to leave their homes because now COVID is officially over? Like, yes, that could happen. But it's hard for me to think that now all of a sudden people are going to reduce their prices. So, you know, I think that was part of the reason why we wanted to have PPI actively managed. We wanted to rotate. You know, I think that the idea is that, you know, to have exposure to these four sectors. And there's a chart by Michael Kantrowitz from Cornerstone Macro that shows you the sector weight of cyclicals versus growth and defensive areas of the S&P. And the cyclical sectors in the S&P are at 100-year lows. So the cyclicals are like banks, energy, industrial materials, which is the four sectors that we lean on. And I just look at that chart. I'm like, you know, PPI is an offset against what you have in your portfolio, which is, you know, a lot of heavy exposure towards, you know, growth and defensives, which, you know, are crowded, expensive. And, you know, I think we've been arguing that PPI is a core holding. The last point I'll make, Nate, I know we're running short of time, is that the last time the Fed tried to hike rates and unwind their balance sheet, you know, was in 2018. And, you know, the S&P fell 24% in 3 weeks. Remember the Christmas Eve massacre where the S&P fell, like, I think it was like 4% on just Christmas Eve. You know, I don't think that the Fed is going to derail this recovery. It's midterm election year. And even if I'm wrong, we've got gold and we've got tips and we've got precious metals and PPI to kind of offset it. So that's what I'm kind of looking at and what's on my radar.
It's so funny. I keep saying the exact same thing. And this is not, you know, investment advice. Just with the Fed, I'll believe it when I see it. Right. We'll see how aggressive they're actually going to get when the market reacts negatively. To your point, in 2018, market goes down roughly 20% and they quickly reverse course. And so until I see that they're willing to stand there and let the markets go down 20, 30, 40% in the face of, you know, in an attempt to control inflation, then you almost have to just bet that they're not going to do that. But, you know, to your point, I think anytime you're building a portfolio, you want to have a nice mix of assets and diversification, of which that should include inflation hedges, even if you're not in an inflationary environment. Obviously, we are in one now. So in any event, John, congrats on the launch of PPI. I certainly wish you the best of luck on that. Always enjoy connecting. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
That was John Davi, founder and chief investment officer at Astoria Portfolio Advisors.